Thank you very much, Michael. Not sure if you've heard passages like that preached on before. We often kind of get to the final sections with lots of names and personal plans and greetings and skip over it. So today we're going to take a closer look. Our theme is not that. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? I think we've got the wrong one there. Is that what I sent through this morning? What was that? It's still going. Still being sent. No, I won't dance while we're waiting, Craig, no. Talk amongst yourselves. Greet one another in peace. Peace be with you. Sorry? That is the 16? Let's hope that's the case. Not working? There we go. No, the wrong one's come through. Okay, that's life. Let's see how we go. We can get rid of that. We'll go back to the title. There you go. Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you've taught us in our time in 1 Corinthians. We pray that even if we can't remember it all right now off the top of our head, we do pray that you would have written lessons on our heart, that you'd be changing us as individuals and together as a church, so that we might be living in a way that is pleasing to you. Please encourage our hearts today as we consider participating in the mission of the gospel of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, you guys can tell me, because you've got it in front of you on your server sheet, what's the little mission statement of our church?
Collection of the Lord's people.
Not the title of the sermon, but in the red, is it there?
Life through Jesus.
Life through Jesus. Yeah, it's a shortened version of enjoying and sharing life in Jesus Christ. We also have a vision, which I was going to put on the screen beside me. Our vision for 2025, by the end of 2025, we would love to see 150 adults gathering in this building on a Sunday morning. We would love to see 50 children gathering, children and youth gathering on a Sunday morning for Sunday school and youth. And we would love to see 30 young people, children and youth, at a kids' club and youth ministry on a Friday night gathering on a Friday, 30. Built into that vision is adding Helen, our children's and women's minister, to help us in our ministry to children. And also by 2025 to add in someone who might help us as we seek to minister to youth. The way in which we are seeking to achieve that vision is within our five key areas of ministry: Sunday gatherings, Bible study groups, outreach, wine and cheese nights for women, for example, children's and youth ministry that we've had quite a lot of focus on and will continue to, and our ministry to over 55s. They're the five key areas that we want to put our energies into. Of course, all under God and all prayerfully to seek to achieve this vision for 2025. Now, I have to say that I am deeply encouraged by what the Lord is doing in and amongst us. He is working. Praise be to God, we have a high participation rate in the gospel mission. If we go back a few weeks, we had a very special working bee. You don't often say that, do you? Special and working bee in the same sentence. But it was. The participation rate was amazing, and the energy and effort and enthusiasm and even joy of that day was palpable. Then, the last couple of Sundays to follow, having opened up our building, people have come and we have filled this place. What a great time we had on Father's Day and then last Sunday as well for the confirmation. As we had anticipated with the removal of the wall, we have come back together and there is more volume and energy and connection. Praise God. I hope that you are as encouraged about what the Lord is doing as I am. Now, as I said, 1 Corinthians 16 is one of those passages that is often skipped over. It deals with a particular financial collection, personal plans and requests, final words and greetings. And what I want to do today is take some lessons from this chapter to A, be encouraged in the things we are already doing, and B, see what we can learn and add to what we are doing. So the first section, Q heading, the collection for the Lord's people. You might actually find it helpful today to have the service sheet open because the outline of the talk, at least, is in the service sheet. Section one, the collection for the Lord's people. And even more important than having the service sheet open, today's the day to keep the Bible open. What was that page number again? 1140? Yeah. 1140, 1 Corinthians 16. The text won't be on the screen, so having it in front of you will help you. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 4 again. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. So we see here that Paul had a concern for the needs of the Christians in Jerusalem, so he organized a collection, a financial gift, to supply their needs. And he teaches an important principle in terms of giving. Regular, verse 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Proportional, in keeping with your income. So I assume thoughtful and deliberate. This is a good principle for us to follow. I am thankful to God for your generosity in supplying the needs of our church, a large part of which supports me and my family. I was also greatly encouraged by your response late last year and into this year, the appeal that we had to pledge an increased giving to support Helen. And aren't we grateful for what she has added? Another great example of what she has added this morning. Not only in what she brings to our Sunday gathering, but also her desire to launch this primary age kids club in 2023 and regather the women's Bible study next term and into 2023. And clearly you have followed through on your pledge to give, because as of August, we had a parish council meeting this morning, as of August we are in a sound financial position. We still have a small surplus. Normally by this time of the year, churches are behind and preparing their appeals to the congregation to catch up for the end of the year. So praise God We're in surplus. But we don't rest content. I should also let you know that there is a very good chance that we will be adding a student minister in 2023. Apart from helping in leading services and occasional preaching for the sake of his training and development whilst at Moore Theological College and our benefit, I'll be asking him to help us in the high school ministry, especially amongst the boys. It's been great to have Verity working amongst the girls in that age and stage, but we've been praying for a young man who might be able to minister amongst our high school boys on a Sunday morning and Friday night, and God willing, this comes to pass and this young fella joins us next year. I'm also greatly encouraged by your generosity to particular appeals. For example, 2 weeks ago on Father's Day, we collected over $1,000 for MAFS, Fuel for Father's Day Appeal. Don't have my phone in my pocket. I got a lovely reply email from one of the MAF representatives when they found out we'd sent them $1,000, just their delight. I also let him know that by having a guest speaker from MAF and just the way the whole Sunday worked, we had a bumper Sunday and morning tea and so on. And he shared it with his office. They were all delighted. They praised God for our partnership in the gospel. Now, notice in verses 3 and 4, there's another important principle, that is above board dealings with financial matters in the church. You know, this organising of... Oh, no, that's okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Lindy. You know, this organising of letters of introduction, sending the people along, you know, carrying the money, all this kind of thing, organising these things to be above board. We know the scandal and damage that is done when there's financial impropriety in the church. And in this, I'm, again, grateful for our denomination, which does everything it can to ensure that everything is done with propriety. And let me assure you that those who deal with money in our church, the wardens and treasurer, seek to do everything that is expected of them in this regard. So, before we move on, let me once again thank you for your generosity and encourage you to grow in it so that we can do more and give more here at St. Paul's. Regular, proportional, thoughtful, and deliberate. If you have any questions about how you can do this here at St. Paul's, please speak to our wardens or treasurer or to me, who can send you in their direction. But we move on. Point 2 in your outline. Personal plans and requests, beginning with Paul's personal plans. Verse 5. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I'll be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Notice in those verses what guides the Apostle Paul's plans. Quote, a great door for effective work has opened to me. We know from the book of Acts that some of his visits to various cities were very brief, just a matter of days and weeks. But others, like in Ephesus, were extended. I think he was there for at least a year and a half from memory. And it appears that the determining factor was a great door for effective work has opened to me. Not that there wasn't effective work that he could have been doing elsewhere. Macedonia, for example, Corinth itself, But Ephesus was his priority for now. His hope, his desire is to travel through Macedonia to then stop in Corinth. That was his desire, his penciled in plan, if you like. But in the end, it's the Lord's plan that is written in ink. And that's something we can all learn. We can make our plans, God willing, wise and godly plans, but they are always written in pencil. God is the one who ultimately directs our steps and determines our path. Paul's plans are wise and godly. He wants to have a ministry through Macedonia, then stop in Corinth. Why? So that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. He doesn't seem to have too many plans beyond Corinth. He seems to be keeping that open for the Lord's direction. But what he is keen on is the Corinthians' support. He would like the Corinthians to supply his needs for the next stage of his mission, wherever that may be. And again, friends, there's some important lessons for us here, not only about the Lord's sovereignty over our lives and our plans only ever being written in pencil. There are lessons here about the priority of the gospel in our plans. Ministry and mission, doors for effective work, should be front and center. God willing, with me, you too can see that the door is open right here at St. Paul's for effective work, for ministry and mission. You may have other thoughts, other possible plans, other possible destinations, other possible work. But can I encourage you to see that a great door for effective work has been opened right here? I can see that, and I have no intention of going anywhere. I want to stay and continue, if the Lord permits. We always have that caveat, don't we? If the Lord permits, God willing. Who knows what the Lord has planned for us? So we seek to be faithful today. And our plans are but penciled in. Now to Timothy, Paul has a request regarding Timothy, verse 10, shiny plastic here, the spotlights. 10, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I'm expecting him along with the brothers. Now, why might the Corinthians treat Timothy with contempt? Yes, we know that he was young from 1 and 2 Timothy. Yep. Yep, I think that's involved. The Corinthians had issues with kind of celebrity leaders. Yep, who they liked and didn't like. He was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. Yep. Thank you for those answers. It was a rhetorical question, but I appreciate your response. It's good that you're engaged. That's great. Let me see if I got anything to add. Oh, well, first and foremost, he is Paul's offsider, and we know that the Corinthians had their issues with Paul. So similar to what you were talking about, Rainer, you know, favourite leaders, they liked Apollos more than Paul. So his connection with Paul might have put him behind the eight ball with the Corinthians.
Yep.
And those other things that others have mentioned. Let me add this too. He was not an apostle. You know, they were pretty enamored with status and qualification. You know, just an offsider of an apostle, that's all. So maybe they looked down on him because he didn't have the credentials. Qualifications seem to be still a big deal in the church. I don't know if you've noticed, Samantha, at Synod. I was reminded of this. People are addressed and even introduce themselves with their titles, qualification, archbishop, bishop, canon, doctor, reverend. I think we need to be careful with this kind of stuff. We also know that the Corinthians preferred style over substance. Perhaps Timothy didn't have the goods in terms of rhetoric. Maybe he was an unimpressive preacher and not a particularly strong leader. And again, this is not just a Corinthian problem. At Synod, I found myself over-focusing on style rather than substance. It's easy to do, isn't it? Focus on style rather than substance. We also know, I won't mention that one, that's been mentioned. Look, I want to thank you for your welcome. I know it's been a few years ago, your welcome of me and my family, your support and encouragement of me and my ministry. I want to thank you very much for that, the warmth of your encouragement and support. I also want to thank you for your welcome, support and encouragement of Helen this year, and your support of Verity. You know, that was still kind of blew me away, the generosity of support for Verity, who's presently still there this week. She's there, yep.
3 weeks,
yep. In Fiji, on mission with YouthWorks, Year 13. And the support that came from you in order to get her there was very, very generous. In terms of support and welcome and encouragement of those who are ministers of the gospel, God willing, as I said, we'll have the opportunity to welcome a young man in 2023, student minister. He'll have L plates on. We all have L plates on, don't we? But he'll have L plates on as he leads us and preaches on occasion. And I know that you will support and encourage him. There'll be no contempt, no comparison. Lastly, in this section, Paul has a word regarding Apollos, verse 12. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Interesting verse, isn't it? Clearly Apollos is a stronger personality. The apostle urges him to go and he's unwilling to go. He knows his own mind. Paul wanted him to do something. Apollos said, no thanks, or at least not now, not now. We know that Apollos was one of the favourites in Corinth with great ability as a preacher and leader. Paul seems to have no personal problem with him. In fact, he calls him brother. This is a good lesson for us. When we have a competitor who is more able than us, especially in the ministry world, rather than feeling insecure about someone who is more able than us, we should praise God and pray for the effectiveness of their work. For in the end, we aren't competitors. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Competitiveness in ministry is pathetic. It's a sign of immaturity. Next point, a mission statement. Helen did a great job of helping us to learn this particular mission statement. We have our own here at church to enjoy and share life in Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and 14 could be a mission statement on its own. It's almost like Paul gives the Corinthian church this final statement as like a mission statement for them as the church in Corinth. Verse 13 and 14, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Something we could put across the door of the church. You could put it on the outside as you come into the church. You could put it on the inside as you go out into the world. In fact, thinking about it a little bit more, it would be a good one on the inside of the door to remind us when we go out. You could do this at home too. You could put it on the back of the door as you go out of the house. You could put it over the door to see every time you go out into the world. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong. Seems like something we have to do in the world. These are the things we need to do, what we are to be when we go to school or work or on the sporting field or amongst our friends at the party, wherever we might be, whatever we might be doing. And I think we can help one another in this as well. We can do this together. We can encourage one another when we meet on a Sunday or in Bible study or at other times. We can encourage each other to do this when we enter the world. And of course, verse 14, do everything in love, applies to what we do in the world and here in church and in our homes. And the kind of love that we are talking about here is obviously Christ-like, sacrificial, serving love. An example of which Paul gives us in Stephanas and his family in the next little section, verse 15. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus and Achaicus, or Achat, however you say that, it's a bit of a tongue twister, arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. So do everything in love is the mission statement. Do everything in love. And these guys, Stephanas and his family particularly, have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. Now, brothers and sisters here at St. Paul's, I have to say that we are blessed with such examples in this church. I'm not about to name anyone for the sake of avoiding embarrassment, but I'm sure you can think of a number of such examples. Those who seek to do everything in love. Those who have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people in this place. Paul's command is that we submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. You can see that he has in mind particularly those who work and labour in gospel ministry, not just paid clergy. Stephanas and his family most likely weren't that. Stephanas was, again, to use one of those titles that we hear at Synod all the time, a layman, not a clergy member. Stephanas and his wife and his children were committed members of the Corinthian church, serving, leading, working and labouring alongside the paid leadership, if they even had any. It seemed that the paid workers were itinerant, like Paul. Paul is talking about the local leaders, elders, preaching and teaching, discipling, training in the Sunday gathering, in homes, leading adult Bible studies, teaching children and youth and so on. Submit to such people is the command, And when they are doing it faithfully, in love, in devoted service, it's a joy to come under such leadership. So let me encourage our local leaders to persevere in their ministry and for all of us to gladly sit under their leadership. Let me conclude with the final greetings from verse 19. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. The rest of the letter is written by a scribe. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Wow. That's strong, isn't it? Very strong. The Corinthian church had issues. There were divisions, and some of those divisions were over people who were believers and not believers, even within the gathering. Paul knows and understands that in this age there will be, as Jesus says, the wheat and the tares coexisting. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. And because the wheat and the tares coexist in this age, he prays, come, Lord Jesus. Have you got the Bible there open in front of you? Let's say verses 23 and 24 together. You ready? Together. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen.